WNYC in New York. This is On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is out this week. I'm Bob Garfield. In Charlotte, North Carolina this week, protest, disorder, and violence in the wake of the latest fatal police shooting of a black man in a parked car.
The victim was 43-year-old Keith Lamont Scott.
Police say that it all started when officers went to arrest another man and encountered Scott instead.
Police say this man posed an immediate risk to the officer who shot and killed him, but the man's family says he didn't even have a gun. It was a book.
At various points, the anger boiled over into mob destruction, and one protester died at the hand of an unknown assailant, all because yet one more African-American, Keith Scott, was shot dead without provocation. Or maybe because he was threatening police officers with a gun and refused to drop it. The cops say the latter, Scott's family the former.
The police just shot my daddy four times for being black. They gonna tell us my daddy had a gun, so that's why they shoot him. But they didn't do nothing. They just pulled up undercover.
Scott's daughter at the scene shortly after the shooting. The family said Scott was brandishing not a weapon, but a book. Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Chief Kerr Putney.
We did not find a book that has been made reference to. And we did find a weapon, and the weapon was there, and the witnesses corroborated it too, beyond just the officers.
Nonetheless, he says video of the incident from police body cams is inconclusive. He showed that video to Scott's family, presumably to put an end to the quietly reading in his car while executed narrative. But Chief Putney won't make the video public, out of respect for Keith Scott. Transparency, he said, doesn't mean the public right to know everything.
If you think we should display a victim's worst day for public consumption, that is not the transparency I'm speaking of, sir.
Or maybe he thinks the video's inconclusiveness will let black citizens fill in the blanks with their own hard-earned reality. Radio host Richard Fowler on Fox News.
Once again, we have seen 400 years of compounded bigotry and racism play itself out in policies in police departments across this country. You have to be blind not to see it.
This is the larger truth explanation for civil disorder, that the particulars of Scott's killing are less relevant than the daily African-American experience of being under suspicion and the recurring nightmare of police violence in Ferguson, Baltimore, Staten Island, Cleveland, Milwaukee, North Charleston, Tulsa. Hence, a last straw spasm of frustration and rage. On Friday, a cell phone video of the Charlotte shooting incident emerged, recorded by Keith Scott's wife, even as she pleaded with her husband and the police to be careful.
Don't shoot him. Don't shoot him. He has no weapon. He doesn't have a gun. He has a TBI. He's not going to do anything to you guys. He just took his medicine.
Harrowing, but taken at too great a distance to be especially clarifying. Meantime, there were some actual, if inconvenient, facts to process. For one, the officer who fired was black. For another, North Carolina is an open carry state. Having a gun or even holding one is not in itself illegal, much less grounds for summary execution. President of the Charlotte branch of the NAACP, Corin Mack.
In my mind and in most of the community's mind, it really doesn't matter if he had a gun. At the end of the day, we have the right under the Second Amendment to carry here in North Carolina. And so I don't want anyone to walk away from this conversation today thinking that a video showing he had a gun in any way says that he was guilty of anything.
In the murk of the events themselves, such context stood out. Other voices merely played their partisan roles and filled the factual vacuum with polemic. And cable news, which is in the conflict business, was only too pleased to provide the forum. This was former New York Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik on Fox, characterizing the protests as cheap opportunism by the likes of Black Lives Matter.
They're not from there. They come from outside. The instigators, they come from outside. We've seen this over and over. Right, an excuse to do this.
And if they were locals, then really, Obama's big government is to blame because the few remaining programs designed to relieve poverty breed not only dependency, but children of color destined for depravity. GOP consultant Ed Rollins.
And a lot of the federal policies discourage families and basically put mothers into situations that they had multiple children and couldn't basically control the elements. And obviously now see them rising up with no hope, no employment, no potential, and their dreams have been crashed. And they think the only way is to get a gun, go rob something, go sell dope, or go smash and burn something.
Conservative outlets as a group were deaf to the only two salient questions: whether Keith Scott would be dead today if he weren't black, and why so many African Americans believe the answer to that question is no. One Fox reporter on the street in Charlotte was schooled by a protester whose very presence at such a chaotic scene, reporter Steve Harrigan, was at a loss to understand.
If a man was shot about 50 yards over there, we don't know by who, why are you here?
Because I serve a purpose, sir. I serve a purpose. My father serves a purpose. My brother serves a purpose.
Are you?
I'm here because guess what? I could be at work, at school, in my car. I can still get shot by the police. I can get shot anywhere. Do you see this?
I do.
Do you see me?
Yes.
Do you see you? We are not the same. We are human. But I am black and you are white. So don't tell me.
If we learned anything over the last few days, it was certainly that. The elusive details of Charlotte are the ultimate gray area, and yet they're also simply a matter of black and white. Coming up, recruiting terrorists from beyond the grave. This is On the Media.
WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. If you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.